Good evening. It's good to be here tonight, preaching to you from God's Word. I hope that my lesson this evening will be a billing to you, in hopes to bring to your mind remembrance of some things you may have studied. And I'm sure there's some things I'll be saying this evening that you may remember other men have said at one time or another up here. And that this is a lesson that I definitely wanted to learn more about myself, that is definitely useful to all of us, no matter your age or gender or anything. There's some good lessons. And considering the question, am I my brother's keeper? That is, am I responsible for my brother? The first thing I want to take a look at is where the question comes from and what the Bible has recorded for us, and that Cain's words have been immortalized in the Bible, that it's become a common saying. We want to look at that. We see, I have an artist rendering of, we have Abel here offering his sacrifice and offering it in faith, and then Cain, we have him in the background offering his and possibly looking on because his wasn't accepted, of course, because the Bible tells us it was not offered in faith. And we know the story that Cain, he was upset, and so that he ended up, since he was not accepted, killing his brother Abel and then hiding him in the ground. And we understand that God asked him, "Where is your brother?" Let's actually take a look at those passages. Genesis 4, beginning at verse 3. And it says, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain said to Abel, his brother, 'Let us go out to the field.' And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." And then what I think is very interesting about the situation is that Cain gives God an answer when he asks him a question, but then he also answers with a question. I find that very interesting that, you know, God asked, but God knew, and he was giving Cain a chance to confess, but almost in an act of maybe rebellion or to question, go against God, he gives his response in verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel your brother?' He said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" And that's going to be the focus of our lesson this evening for us to consider, and that certainly it's a question that we should ask ourselves in considering all the members that are part of the body of Christ. First thing I want us to consider is that when we become a Christian, we are largely taught we need to save ourselves. As it says in Acts 2 and verse 40, we understand this is Peter preaching the first gospel sermon, and he teaches about Jesus, who he was, and he'd been killed, that they had crucified him, and they wondered what they could possibly do. And they were told to repent and be baptized. In verse 40 it says, "And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" And so the focus tends to be there at the first, you need to wash yourself of your sins, you need to be clean. But after becoming a Christian, the focus, we see that quickly turns away from just focusing upon, you know, me, myself. What's our responsibility toward others in the world and our brethren? What things can we do for others? Galatians 5, verse 13 says, For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. So the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So certainly it should become clear after some study that the answer is yes. In John 13, beginning in verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And I really like verse 35. It says, By this all, men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that is an identifier that Jesus points out of who are his disciples. And really, we can think of some other passages that teach these ideas. And so I'm not going to belabor the point anymore. I think we know the answer is yes. Am I my brother's keeper? And as we saw, we are to love one another as is commanded by Jesus. In John 15, in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And in verse 17, this I command to you, to love one another. And it was taught by Paul as well. In Romans 13, in verse 8, it reads, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. I'll let you look up 1 Thessalonians. That continues in that same Paul still teaching, and then as instructed by Peter in 1 Peter 1 and 22, 1 Peter 1 and 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. Even as stressed by John in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And I want to actually read verse 12 that goes along with our first slide. And not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. And there's just a lot of other scriptures we can see in looking at this lesson. And so when we think about that, I think the question that comes up, well then, we understand we've got to love our brethren, but how do we express this love? What does the scriptures teach us that we need to do? And I've got a list. This isn't an all-inclusive list. There's many others that I'm sure you could add to this, but I wanted to focus on a few major ones here. We need to receive one another. In Romans 15 and verse 7, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you to the glory of God. And also, if you want to stay in Romans, go back one chapter. We need to edify each other. Romans 14 and verse 19. Let us then pursue what makes for peace, and through mutual upbuilding. And then serve each other. So we're also expected to serve each other. In Galatians 5:13, I read this one earlier as well. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. In Galatians chapter 6, we need to bear one another's burdens. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to forgive each other. One book over, in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We also need to be exhorting one another. In Hebrews 3, beginning in verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil and unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And staying in Hebrews, we need to consider one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the last one I have is we need to be hospitable. 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 8. Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's very grace. As I said before, I'm sure there's others you could add to this list as well. We want to look at some practical applications and some ideas that go along with some of these here. And have a lot of different questions for us to really think about, and we need to ask ourselves to consider and evaluate, you know, am I my brother's keeper? The first thing we want to look at is when someone becomes a brother, you know, what do? Are we receiving him into the family of God, or are we ignoring them? What is our response when someone's baptized? You know, we understand that in heaven the angels are rejoicing. You know, what are we doing? Are we just ignoring them? Oh, well, there's another one. That should not be our attitude at all. Or even when we think about someone who is a Christian who comes in, moves into the area, what's our response to them? And that's where we get that Romans 15:7, where it says, welcome them as Christ has welcomed them. You know, are they properly assimilated into the family life of the congregation? You know, it's a great thing to welcome them in. I think that's wonderful. Invite them over to your house. You're practicing hospitality and other things. Another good practice, do we even consider, well, maybe we should invite them over and have a Bible study, especially if they're a new Christian. You know, what kind of response is that do we have? You know, or do they just remain on the fringe, or that's just that person in the back, we don't really talk too much? Another thing to think about, if we don't know their names, truly we can think, well, you know, am I really doing what I need to do as my brother's keeper? You say we're failing in that respect. You know, do we edify them, our brothers, or do we put stumbling blocks in their way? That's where we see Romans 14:19. Are we building them up? Are we considered bodybuilders? Are we encouraging them? You know, how is it we're talking to them or showing our example to them? Or do we just focus on maybe some of the faults they have? Are we just like a cancer that's weakening the members of the body of Christ? You know, it's really easy to say one bad thing or have one bad example. But it's another thing to slowly over time just say a few bad things here or there and not even think about it. Just throw some idle words around that. That's not should be our attitude either. As I said, we should have a good example with our words and our attitudes. It was said of Philemon that he refreshed the hearts of the brethren. You know, do people say the same thing of us? You know, do we serve our brethren in love, or do we expect them to serve us? Is that our first thought? Well, you know, they need to do something for me, or they need to cater to our every whim? That's where Galatians 5:13 comes in. We need to consider, how can I help my brethren? You know, do we consider, oh, I'm not going to help them because they've never bothered to help me? Do we demonstrate our hospitality to them? Do we open our homes to them? Do we visit them in their need? And do we accept invitations to their home? You know, or do we say, well, you know, maybe another time, and eventually they stop asking? That's something we need to think about as well. Another thing that can be difficult is that when a brother is overtaken in a fault, you know, how quickly do we respond? And do we respond at all? What kind of response do we have? You know, it can be difficult to decide, but depending on the type of fault, our response should fit what happened. And sometimes we need a stronger reaction. We need to remember the verses that tell us how we need to respond kindly to them. You know, as we read Hebrews, do we consider them? Do we even know who they are? Or are we here just to punch our ticket and we leave quickly? We don't even know what's going on with our members. There's more questions we need to ask. Are we ignorant of the problems? We don't know what's going on with them. If so, why? You know, it can be a difficult thing to approach somebody when there's a problem needs to be dealt with. But if you've never even bothered to talk to them or even make them your friend, what's the likelihood if the only time you come to them is when they've got a problem? You know, that's almost like they're going to, when you come to them, they'll be expecting that that's what you're going to talk to them about. You know, maybe it's because we don't assemble enough. Maybe we're just wondering and that's all we do. That's not really sufficient. And if we're supposed to be a family, hopefully we'd want to grow closer to the members. You know, do these people, they just drift away and no one's really made an effort to reach them? In Hebrews 3, do we exhort them lest they be hardened by sin? But sometimes time is of the essence. You know, but sometimes we can be afraid to confront them. We think, well, that's just going to drive them away. But really, sometimes problems, they need to be dealt with. And if we are truly doing what we need to do, we're loving our brother and we're approaching them with humbleness, humility, they're not likely to run away. As the verse said in Hebrews, exhortation needs to be daily. And sometimes we can wait too long. As we see, sin has a way, as we read, hardening us, convincing us otherwise, and some people may not listen to you any longer. Now, I can think of an example of a family I knew in the church in Asheville where I worshipped, and I'd known them to be a very faithful family, and I came to hear that they were gone and divorced, and they wouldn't even listen to anything. Any of the brothers would try to get together and talk with them, and they wouldn't even listen. Next thing we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to bear their burdens? You know, how do we see ourselves in helping our brethren with maybe some difficulties, some weaknesses, whether physical or spiritual? How are we looking? As we saw that in Galatians 6. I believe the focus here is on the spiritual. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what's our goal in helping our brethren? Are we helping them? We want to help them overcome it and be stronger after the fact? You know, are we just there to stamp out sin and get it out of the church? Are we wanting to gain our brother? Or would we really not be bothered with the situation at all? You know, really, I put a clock up there because a lot of us, it takes time that we have to spend sometimes. And time is precious to all of us. But hopefully, we would want to spend that time helping a brother that has fallen or trying to reach out to someone. And if they do repent, Are we quick to forgive them when they repent? We read that passage earlier in Ephesians 4:32, but I know we can read many other passages that talk about the forgiveness that we have, and are we going to extend that forgiveness as well to others? You know, and depending on, as I looked before, the earlier examples of our attitudes and our words being an example to the other brethren, if we've handled a situation in a certain way and it was poorly, a lot of other people, they see how that is. And if they see that we've handled a situation and we haven't forgiven somebody, then the likelihood of them wanting to come and be forgiven is probably not very good either. They have that fear of not being forgiven and accepted back into the family. And they may not want to repent or come back. They have the idea, well, you know, they're not just going to forgive me. I saw how they treated the other brother. So I think we need to look to how we act in that way as well. And do we communicate a willingness to accept with open arms and offer complete forgiveness? And we talk about communication is important in a lot of relationships. I think sometimes we can miss out on that. I have a picture of a cell phone there because all of us can get in contact with our brothers in one way or another, whether we call them up or whether we're able to talk to them face to face. Communication is very important as well. And going through the conclusion, we need to think about a lot of these questions and a lot of the passages that we read. You know, how we answer these questions is going to reveal how well or how poorly we are being our brother's keeper. And hope that we really think about it and what we need to work on. We need to try to live up to the responsibility we have to love one another as Christ loved us. And if we fail to be our brother's keeper, hopefully we want to repent of our lack of concern in activity or anything else that may have hindered us, that we would confess our shortcomings to God, that we would resolve with zeal to do what the Scriptures say. We would truly want to look out for our brothers and sisters. If you are here this evening, and if you're not a Christian, Jesus Christ died for your sins upon the cross. You must believe that in Him and repent of your sins. You must follow what the Bible says to become His child, being baptized, and live your life according to God's will. Your life will then glorify God if you continue to live faithful, and you can live with your Father in heaven for eternity. If you don't quite understand all these things, any of us would be happy to study with you on these subjects. I don't see that we have anybody in the evening tonight. If you're a Christian and you would like the prayers of the congregation, we ask that you would come as we sing the chosen song.